John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. I'm continuing on with our Salvation Road series, and this time I'm moving into a new session. I'm looking now at the last of those walks, which is walking as Jesus. It's walking as Jesus walked. And the first part of that I want to have a look at is maturing in Christ. So our objectives today are to understand what it is to be mature in Jesus Christ, to identify some of the things we need to do to reach maturity in Christ, and to recognise the help that the Lord has given us through the ministries in the church to reach maturity. So just quickly an overview, this session looks at what it means to be mature in Jesus Christ, as I've already said, and some of the ways to get there. To be mature is to be perfected in Jesus Christ, and it's essential that all Christians become perfect, and the process of maturing will get us there. So the first scripture I want to have a look at is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. You've heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect." This is the point of becoming mature in Jesus Christ. It's to come to the place of perfection. And as that last verse there, Matthew 5, 48 says, you therefore must be perfect. It's not a hope to be perfect. You must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. If we're going to stand in the presence of the Father, we have to be perfect. Now, while many people may believe it's impossible for man to be perfect in the sight of God, this is not so. The Lord tells us here that not only is it possible, it's an imperative. This is not a vague wish. It is a command to which we as Christians must all aspire. You must be perfect. And what is perfection? It's the final state of maturity in Jesus Christ. It's when we reach the state of living in the love of God, and when we do as Jesus did. To be perfect is to be mature in God's love, and in the following scriptures, we'll see some of the indicators of perfection and how to achieve it. So to be perfect is to be like God. We are to be walking in love as Jesus walked in love, and as God seeks for us, because God is love. The next scripture I want to go to is Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 to 14. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go continually into the outer tent performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood which he offers for himself and for the errors of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the sanctuary is not yet opened, as long as the outer tent is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot perfect the conscience of the worshipper, but deal only with food and drink and various ablutions, regulations for the body imposed until the time of reparation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not taking the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, I know that was a lot to take in, but this is a very important point. The scriptures here speak about the ritualistic processes of the Mosaic law, how they did the ritual sacrifices and so on. Perfection, and by extension maturity, was not and is not possible under the law. We have to be separated from the law if we are to become perfected in Jesus Christ. Under the law, the people could receive forgiveness, but the law does not perfect the conscience and can never perfect the conscience of a person. This is what it's saying in verse 9 of this section of Scripture. I'll just reread that verse 9 where it says, according to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered which cannot perfect the conscience of the worshipper. So if we're to be perfect and mature, we have to step apart from the law, which is achieved through entering into the death of Jesus Christ by baptism. And I've spoken about this in the past. However, baptism is only the beginning step. It's only the first step. The work of perfecting our conscience and bringing us into maturity is the transformation work of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22, we find these words. And behold, one came up to him, saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? One there is who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which? And Jesus said, You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honour your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself. The young man said to him, All these I have observed. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So here we see Jesus define the very first thing we need to do if we are to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. It's the first step on the path to maturity. This man who approached Jesus understood that he needed to do more than just follow the law. As he said, What do I still lack? He knew there was something lacking, but he didn't know what it was. Jesus advised the man to get rid of his worldly possessions because these were a stumbling block to the man. And we know this is true because the man went away sorrowful because he wasn't able to do that. He wasn't able to overcome this stumbling block and to give away his worldly possessions. But the most important aspect of this teaching is the last bit which was the need to follow me or follow Christ. If we are to become mature and perfect in the sight of God, it cannot happen unless we follow Jesus. Following the law will not get us there, as the last scripture showed. It's only by following Christ that we can have our consciences perfected. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 to 16, we see these words. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is he who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. Now, God has not left us without the means by which we can become mature in Jesus Christ. God gave these gifts to men. These are the ministry gifts given to the church for the purpose of building up the church so that it can become mature in Jesus Christ. We see these gifts listed here, with the purpose being to bring the members of the body to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And if we are mature to the level of Jesus Christ, then we walk in perfection as he walked in perfection. The aim is that we all grow to the point where we are able to discern right from wrong, good from evil, so that we do not slip on the false teachings that are brought against us from the world and too often in the church. There are many teachings taught in the church that do not have a scriptural basis, and we must learn what to keep and what to reject to become mature. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, we find this. About this we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. The writer of Hebrews here states that solid food is for the mature. It's the same whether it's a physical or spiritual food. Just as a baby can't eat and digest solid food, so too the young Christian cannot digest and understand the solid teachings that go to the mature. And notice in the last verse what it means to be mature in Jesus Christ. The mature Christians are those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Note here that it is by practice that they become mature. It is by the practice of the doctrines we learn in Christ that give us the ability to discern good from evil. And sometimes this is not an easy thing to do. Evil is often well disguised as good. Some lies that have come into the church sound okay until you delve into the lie and see that the basis of it is all wrong. It's not scriptural. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, we see this. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Here is another part of the process to maturity and perfection in Jesus Christ. In order to be mature, we must transform and be transformed by the renewal of our minds. We must learn how to change the ways that we think so that in any and all circumstances, we focus on the good and not the evil. We must learn to focus on the things of the spirit that lead to life rather than the things of the flesh that lead to death, as we're told in Romans chapter 8. To be perfect means that we should not conform to the norms of this world because this world is ruled by the evil forces of the spiritual realm. The god of this world is the devil, and his will is to destroy all mankind, but especially the Christians. In Luke 8:14, we see this. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. One of the great challenges that prevent people from coming into maturity in Jesus Christ is they get distracted. We see this mentioned in the parable of the sower here, where we're told that those people who represent the ones among the weeds will be distracted by the cares, the delights, the pleasures, and the problems of this world, and so the seed will not grow to maturity. If we are to be mature in Jesus Christ, then the pursuit of the will of God and the ways of the Lord must be the overriding priority above all else. To be distracted is to lose everything. In James 3, verses 1 and 2, we see this. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for you know that we who teach shall be judged with greater strictness. For we all make many mistakes, and if anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. Now, this scripture gives us an insight into what it is to be perfect. Perfection is not about some physical aspect. It's not about what we wear or how we look. Rather, it's about how we think and then how we speak. Earlier we saw the need for the renewal of our mind. It is the mind that tells the tongue what to say. And if we're able to control our minds and our tongues so that we speak as Jesus would have spoken, then we have achieved perfection and maturity in Jesus Christ. It is the person who makes no mistakes in what he says that is perfect. And just as an interesting fact, I just happened to be reading earlier today in the book of Revelation about the 144,000. And one of the things we saw about those is they're redeemed as first fruits of mankind. And the thing that redeems them is that they are perfect. And it says they are spotless and no lie was found in their mouth. And so these 144,000 are people that James is talking about here because they make no mistakes in what they say. And so therefore they are a perfect man. So I just thought that would be interesting to throw in there. It's something I saw that was, it's on topic, but it's just a little side note that is an example of this particular scripture in action. The next scripture coming back to the topic is in 1 John chapter 2 verses 3 and 6. And by this we may be sure that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but disobeys his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly love for God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So once here again, we see that it's by keeping the word and the commandments of the Lord that we will be perfected in love. We cannot presume to know Christ or to know God if we do not do as he or they command. If we do not follow the commands of the Lord, then who are we following? There is no middle ground here. If we are not following the Lord, then we are opposing him. As the scripture says elsewhere, whoever is not with me is against me. So to be perfect is to follow Christ perfectly. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. We follow the Lord because his way is right. Always. The last scripture I want to look at is in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be thus minded, and if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. We don't know when we will achieve perfection. Scriptures tell us that we must be perfect, but whether we all do that in this lifetime is questionable. At some point, if we are to spend eternity with Jesus Christ and God the Father, we must be perfect. The Lord will make provision for those who need to be perfected and who will go through the process of being perfected in due course. What is necessary for us now is to aspire to maturity, to press on to the goal, which is perfection and life in Jesus Christ. And we are to seek the Lord in anything that we may be believing that may be wrong, so that the Lord will reveal those things to us and continue the work of transformation and perfection within us until we reach maturity. So a couple of questions to think about. Is there anything that might be holding you back from maturity in Christ Jesus? Secondly, which of the ministry gifts will be of most help to you to achieve maturity? Thirdly, when trying to define right from wrong, do you use the scriptures as the basis for your decision making? You should. Quick call to action. Seek the things you need to understand to move you towards perfection in Jesus Christ. And don't blindly accept things you are told, even by the church, even by me, if they disagree with the scriptures. Question everything. A couple of prayer points. Spend a few moments in prayer now to seek the Lord to show you the straight and narrow path that leads to life, for that is the path to perfection and maturity. Ask the Lord to bring along the right people with the right ministries, given by him, to teach you and to show you what you need to know next. So that's it for this session. In the next session, we will continue on with this walking as Jesus, and it will be a great help in coming into maturity in Jesus Christ. Because what we're going to do is we're going to look at the reasons for and the purpose of Bible study. Now, you might think, Bible study, oh, yeah, Bible study. Anyway, we're going to look at that and see what the Bible says about Bible study. So until next time, this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast, wishing you all the best, and I hope that you have a blessed week. God bless.